Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Keep Looking Up When Life Gets You Down. In this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 20. Keep your passion alive. Let's read that text. Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And so they said to him, "We have not so much as heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." And then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This came known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The ruins of Ephesus give a glimpse of how important the city must have been when Paul first arrived there. 2,000 years ago, Ephesus was the major port of modern-day Turkey. And the Romans called the city the crown jewel of Asia Minor. At its peak, 400,000 lived there. And the international trade that occurred daily made it one of the most famous cities in the world. Only 10% of the ruins have been excavated. The area still uncovered stretches for miles near the coast of Eastern Turkey. When it was in its prime, the city would have been an incredible sight. Into that pagan metropolitan environment walked Paul and his traveling companions. He had almost no money, no friends yet in the city, and no advance work preparing the people for his message. He had no guarantee that anyone would listen to his message. He had recently struck out in Athens. His stay in Thessalonica and Philippi had been very brief. It would take a miracle to take the gospel message to the huge population of Ephesus. Our text tells us that Paul spent 3 months in the local synagogue before beginning a marketplace ministry. He stayed in Ephesus for another 2+ years. What were the results? What impact did one man's passion make? Verse 10, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Obviously, many of the travelers who passed through Ephesus took Paul's message with them. He had an international ministry. Many miracles happened. The story of 7 brothers beaten and stripped naked by an evil spirit caused the name of Jesus to be magnified, it says in verse 17. There were many confessions of following Jesus Christ and repentance of sin. In one event, former pagans publicly burned scrolls valued today at about 5 to 7 million. By the end of 2 years' work, Ephesus had been radically changed because of Paul's passion. Verse 20 proclaims that the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. There was even a riot because a silversmith became worried about the economic impact Christianity was having on the worship of Artemis at Ephesus. He worked the crowd into such an emotional state that 25,000 or so citizens ran into the huge theater and shouted pro-Artemis slogans for 2 hours. Paul wanted to preach to the crowd, but his friends kept him away from there. Despite a very difficult environment, the church in Ephesus thrived. Today, Ephesus lies in ruins. The economic victim of a harbor that became unusable. The Temple of Artemis was one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world, with more than 120 massive columns. Today, only one column stands in a small pasture. On the other hand, Paul's gospel message of Jesus Christ resulted in the conversion of billions. Today, some 2,000 years later, his letter to the Ephesians is still read, studied, and memorized. Look at Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. The impact of the gospel was more than Paul imagined. If you want to change our world, if you want to make a life-changing impact on those you meet, look at the way Paul handled his passion. Take his pattern and apply it to your walk with Jesus Christ. First, remember your past successes. By the time Paul got to Ephesus, he was comfortable with the process. He didn't start in the region's most influential city. Instead, he came to that city with the experience that God provided him in several other places. He had success in Pisidian Antioch, where the whole city gathered to hear his sermons. Acts 13:44. He survived a vicious attack at Lystra and then gained an opportunity to reach many with the gospel. Acts 14:19-30. He spent 18 months in Corinth, a city notorious for its 1,000 temple prostitutes and daily visits by sailors who took advantage of the city's overland shipping shortcut. The city was immoral, ongoing problems of disorder, drunkenness, and sexual immorality. Yet Paul had much success there. Paul was in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea for only a short time, but the churches he started were still thriving. Paul had near failure in Athens to learn from Acts chapter 17, verses 32-34. How did he handle that? He moved on to Corinth, where the message was well received. With several successes behind him, Paul boldly walked into Ephesus and followed the model that had been successful for him in the past. Every success led to more confidence, and the increasing confidence led to more successes. If you've got a passion, if you've discovered your God-given purpose, then pursue it. Remembering your past successes, those successes will be the confidence you need to walk into the next Ephesus of your life, ready to see what God will do. Second, use what you have to do what you can. Verses 1-3. And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul found only 12 men, it says in verse 7, who were not very far along in their faith. They had heard about John's baptism and nothing more. He found only 12 immature men in a city of nearly 500,000 people. But Paul's passion drove him to take those men, share the gospel with them, and start his work. From that small start, came miraculous change. Who's in your circle of acquaintances? Start there. The people God has placed around you and your current life situation is exactly where God can use you. Take what you have and do what you can. If you wait until you have all you need to accomplish great things, you'll probably never accomplish anything. By the way, later in his ministry, Paul ended up in prison. He was unable to plant new churches, walk in a new country, or even revisit the pastors he'd left behind. Paul could have lived those prison years in bitterness, but his passion wouldn't let him. He used what he had, pen and paper, and he did what he could. He wrote letters to his churches, unaware that God would use his written words as instruction for billions of future believers. And then third, trust God for the results. Verses 23 and 24. And about that time, there arose, verse 23 forward, down to verse 34. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, "Men, you know that we have a prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands." So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him in. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. and most of them did not know why they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, and Jews pulling him forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana." Great is Diana of the Ephesians. This one is an intense moment of Paul's time in Ephesus. To the untrained eye, the 25,000 rioting Artemis fanatics were out of control. Paul's friends tried to keep him from the crowd, seeing the danger. They were a mob without restraint, but were they out of control? Read again the second part of verse 32. Most of them did not know why they had come together. Most of the people in the theater weren't aware of why they were there. The rest of the city, hundreds of thousands who weren't in the theater, must have been curious about the uproar. After the crowd dispersed, the news must have circulated. People asked questions. People wanted answers. The message of Jesus Christ spread to thousands of new listeners. Is it possible God arranged to have more people hear the message in a single day than in all of Paul's work the past 2 years combined? I think so. When your life seems out of control, know that it's not. God is always in control. And then fourth, passion never retires. Paul moved on from Ephesus, but he never lost interest in the young church. He wrote a lot of letters, including a very detailed one to the church in Ephesus. Even his opening words to Timothy concerned that congregation. See 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith." For Paul, prison was a life circumstance in his last years. For many people today, aging leaves a prison of a different kind. Illness or disability makes it impossible to work or minister as in the past. A lack of finances might be the limitation. All of us eventually come to the same question Paul must have faced. Considering my present circumstances, what can I do now? Paul decided to write letters. His passion never retired. His passion never slowed down. The way he expressed that passion changed, but the passion itself grew with time. What's your passion? What did God put in you? Have you let an excuse stop you from expressing that passion? Passion never quits. It drives people until every ounce of life is squeezed into that passion. You think about that, and you have a great day.